We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. So do the smart thing. And if you're going to bet on this football season, bet with MyBookie. Do you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. So join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to activate the offer. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Love that. Love getting paid, Jason. This is Cash Considerations. I'm Ricky. I'm with Jason. I have a cold, so you guys are going to have to bear with me on that. I think I got it from watching that Chicago Sky game the other night. Oh, what a ridiculous game. I want to start this off by saying that I went to my first Sky game, their playoff opener against Phoenix. What a great product. What a great experience. I'm now fully invested on the team after just going to one game. So just a tremendous team. You guys should definitely follow them next year. I think the WNBA in general is just awesome league and really fun to watch. And the Sky are poised to be competitive for a long time. They have Diamond DeShields, Delino DeShields' daughter. Give me an entire team of Diamond DeShields' offspring. I know his son plays for the Blue Jays, I think, as a shortstop. Diamond DeShields is sick. She's pretty much the most athletic wing in the WNBA. They also have Courtney Vandersloot, who has been on the team for 9 years. She's a point guard. She gives off some major Steve Nash vibes. She did have the big brain fart at the end of the Las Vegas Aces playoff loss. She's married to their other starting guard, Allie Quigley. Gotta love that. So the Sky in general are sick. I encourage anyone who's listening to this podcast to get more invested in that team and to go to a game, because going to a game is really what did it for me. And I'm going to be excited to follow them next year, but we're still talking about the Bulls here, Jason, and today we're going to dive into Wendell Carter Jr. We already talked about Lauri Markkanen. We talked about Otto Porter Jr. last week. This is going to be the Wendell Carter episode. We have a lot of good stuff lined up, and I think that, you know, Wendell is maybe more than anyone the one player, it seems to me, the whole fan base agrees on, that everyone's excited about.
Yeah, first of all, quick note, back to the Sky. I actually interned for them back in the day, like right when I was graduating from college. So I got to see a bunch of games up close. Met Taj Gibson at a couple games. He would always go and like sit courtside, which is a lot of cool. That was a really cool experience.
Yeah. So when I was there, Lowry was there next to Archie Diacono, and Bobby Portis was there.
Yeah, so they love going to all these games. So it's really cool to see them supporting the Sky. Like I said, go support them. It's fun basketball. Like I will admittedly say, like, I was skeptical when I took that internship and when I was doing it, but it was a lot of fun seeing the games up close like that, and just the basketball itself is obviously very good. It's professional basketball. They're extremely good at their jobs, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Shout out to the Chicago Sky. Before we talk about Wendell Carter Jr. really quick, I do want to say that the FIBA World Cup is finally over. Tomáš Satoranský and Czech Republic, they finished actually in sixth place, so props to them. That was their first ever appearance in the FIBA World Cup, finished in sixth place. They lost to Australia in the quarterfinals, but Satoransky almost had a triple-double, 13-13-9, that's 13 assists. They beat Poland then, and he had 22, 12 assists and 4 rebounds, and then they lost to Serbia in the fifth place game. He finished with basically averages of like 16-9-6 on 46-48-90. Incredible tournament for him, really excited for him. But yes, this is going to be a Wendell Carter Jr. podcast. Utah mentioned that a lot of people, I think, are excited for him. Zach LaVine talked about, he did a recent interview with FanSided, and he actually had a quote that he's one. He was asked basically, like, who are you most excited to see, like, take a step? And Zach said Wendell Carter Jr. I got the quote right here. He says, Wendell Carter, because he wasn't able to get his full rookie year up under him. He was starting to get into a groove when he got injured, man. That's one of the worst things in all of sports, and it was so upsetting. But he's been in the gym working all year. He has great defensive intangibles as a rookie, especially for a big guy. I feel like it's always tougher for them, but he's shown different little flashes to where he seemed above his experience level. So he's really excited. I mean, that's kind of cool to see Zach LaVine shout out Wendell like that. And obviously, one of the big things about Wendell has been the injuries. He had the wrist surgery that ended his season as a rookie. And then also earlier this offseason, he had this core muscle injury, something that apparently had been bothering him going back several years. And he had that surgery. And as far as I can tell, he seems to be fine. The Bulls and himself, if you check out their Instagram, they've posted a few pictures of him working out. Obviously, that doesn't always tell the whole thing, because working out, doing stuff like that, isn't necessarily mean the guy's ready for like full-blown camp. But as far as I can tell, the initial diagnosis for him was that he would be okay, and it sure seems like he is fine. And so with training camp coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have to hope that Wendell Carter is healthy, because he's obviously going to be a huge part of this team. Another thing that I really liked this offseason, he posted an Instagram thing on his a picture on his account, basically apologizing for how bad the Bulls were last year and how they like failed the fans. He just seems like a real cool dude, real good guy, got a good head on his shoulders, really hard worker. And yeah, he's just going to be a big part of this rebuild moving forward.
Yeah, super excited for Wendell. To me, one of the worst parts of last season was that we never really got to see Wendell and Lowry have extended time next to each other. I think that was a question people were asking when the Bulls drafted Wendell. You know, in today's NBA, I think a lot of people probably see Lowry as a five. But basically everything Lowry does poorly, Wendell does really well. So I do think that on paper, they certainly have skill sets that should complement each other. I think that if Carter really comes through on his potential on the defensive end, then, you know, that could make all the difference for a Bulls team that, you know, has a couple shaky defenders instilled in the starting lineup and instilled in the foundation of the team. So Carter has a lot riding on him to me. Like, he's the one guy on the team who's definitely a plus on both ends of the floor. Now you do have Otto Porter, who I think is the best guy on the team, who sort of like took that mantle from him. But at least in terms of, you know, the homegrown guys, he's definitely a plus on both ends of the floor. And I think that he has a foundation of skills that is already really impressive that is only going to continue to grow.
For sure. And you mentioned the Lowry thing. That's obviously going to be huge, because the timing of the last season between Lowry getting hurt and then Wendell getting hurt, they really just didn't get that much time to play together. They only played 436 minutes together. And the Bulls were awful with them in the court. Not that it's like it was like their fault or anything. It was some of that was the timing. It was Lowry came back and then Fred got fired, so Boylan came in and instituted just the ridiculous system they were running. Just looking at the numbers right here, they had 96.50 rating together, which is obviously terrible. 110 D rating, which is obviously not good either. So it's a minus 13.7 net rating in those 436 minutes. That is very bad. But again, like with what Boylan was trying to do with their whole slow it down thing, I think the whole thing was just kind of a mess. And we just never really got to see either of them just kind of blossom together and really play off each other. And I think that's just going to be a really big thing to watch for this year, just how they play off each other, how Boylan runs his offense, how he does through with Lowry, with Wendell. So it'll be really interesting to see just, I guess, how they do that. Ricky, what are your thoughts about like how they will actually fit on the court together, how Boylan should use them offensively together?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and it's something that Bulls fans, I think, should be worried about. Boylan last year, I mean, basically when he came in, he instilled a walk-it-up offense that ran through Robin Lopez post-ups. And then when Carter did get his minutes, he was running a lot of the same sets for Carter in Lopez's place. Now, Wendell Carter Jr. has a wide variety of offensive skills. Posting up is not one of them. He graded out in the 10th percentile in the entire NBA in post-ups. And that is disappointing for a center, and it played a big reason why, in general, Carter was not an efficient offensive scorer last year. He has sub 50% effective field goal percentage, which just pales in comparison to some of the other rookies out there, the other rookie centers in his draft class. But the whole issue last year was that he wasn't being used correctly. And if you stop running post-ups through Wendell Carter Jr., like, Jason, I don't want to see a Wendell post-up this entire year. Give me a pick and roll. Give me him initiating the offense from the high post as a passer. Give me him as a cutter who's like screening away from the ball and darting in. There's so many. Give me spot ups. I want to see him shoot this year, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that a little later. The last thing I want is for Wendell Carter Jr. to try to be groomed as a back to the basket scorer, because first of all, there just aren't very efficient opportunities in general, as the last few years of data have shown us, and it just doesn't fit his skill set. He's 6'10", 255. He's not exactly undersized for a modern center, but just look at all the centers out there who are bigger than him. It's like pretty much all of them are either going to be stronger, longer, taller. I think that, you know, he's more of a skill guy than a brute force guy, and the Bulls need to keep that in mind in terms of how they use him this year.
Absolutely. And to the post-up point, just a shout out to Cole Zwicker. Did a whole huge profile about Wendell Carter Jr. A month ago at the Stepien, and the title was Wendell Carter's Second Year Breakout Player. He basically started it. He had his whole little intro, but then it started with the Wendell Carter's rookie year interior post-up struggles. And he just has this whole section about just him struggling as a post-up player. And again, I feel like they did that a lot. Like, we saw occasional decent moves from the post, but just overall, a full season, he was just absolutely terrible in the post. One of the stats here is he finished with a miserable 0.625 points per possession on almost a 20% distribution of his offensive possessions. And that's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, that's a fifth of his possessions and just an incredibly low rate. And that was the thing that Boylan was just obsessed with, all these post-ups. And there's a lot of great film in here as well in this article. Again, please go check this article out. This article dives super deep into what Carter does. And then his next section is about the shooting potential. We talk about, you mentioned the spot-ups. We saw he had a pretty low volume of three-point shooting at Duke, but I believe he was at around 40% from three. Last year, it felt like it was like pulling teeth getting him to shoot threes, and he shot under 19% on, like, I think it was like 0.7 three-point attempts per game. So super low volume, super low success rate. Because I think they kind of talked him out of shooting those threes. So that's something we're going to have. I feel like they just need to get him in the mindset of shooting more three-pointers. If you look at his free throw percentage, he shot almost 80% on free throws. So you see the skill is there with the shooting. He's got a nice touch. That should be able to translate to more outside jumpers. So I really do hope we see more of that this season.
Yeah, and it was disappointing because in Summer League, I ranked all the rookies at the end of Summer League last year, and I had Wendell as the best rookie. And part of that was because he did show the diversity of his skill set in terms of being able to shoot, being able to pass. He drained a bunch of threes in Summer League, and even a couple that were like, you know, he was like dribbling out to the line himself to take a corner three. I remember that play. You look at his pass shooting numbers both in college and at the start of his pro career from the foul line, he was an 80% free throw shooter last year, Jason. So, like, when we talk a lot about, like, bigs being played off the floor in the playoffs, I'm not super nervous that that's going to happen to Wendell, in part because he is just a money foul shooter. So you can't do any, like, hack a Wendell strategies. And also, I just think that, you know, his best attribute is that he plays a poised, considerate, high IQ game on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, for sure. That the high IQ stuff and the skill in general, the third section of this big article is about perimeter playmaking, passing, and dribble handoffs. And I think that'll be really, it'll be really interesting to see what kind of stuff Boylan incorporates Wendell's passing and playmaking ability. Because I think that they could really do some interesting stuff, like I said, with these dribble handoffs, with big-to-big stuff with him and Lowry. Because he really does have those kind of skills where he, and we saw it occasionally last season. Like, we saw bits and pieces. Like, that game against the Nuggets, the game that I believe you were in the building for, where he had like 28. Oh, I have the exact stats pulled up right here. He had 25, 8 rebounds, and then also 5 assists. And we saw some of the passing that he can do in that game. Just really impressive. I think that's kind of the stuff we just need to see more of. Just You have a really talented big man who's really skilled. Don't shoehorn him into something. Just let him blossom and let me see this the full aspect of his game. I know they have other guys they want to get shots to. They want Zach's going to be doing a lot of playmaking and getting a lot of shots. Lowry's obviously super important offensively, but you have these super skilled big guys in Lowry and Wendell Carter Jr. Please, I just want to see them take advantage of that and not run slow down stuff where they're posting up and crap like that. Just let them free and let them blossom. You have a bunch of super talented players here between Lowry and Wendell, between Zach with Otto Porter Jr. as well. Like, theoretically, these guys should make for a really great offense if the right system is implemented. Boylan's talked about doing more running and doing more stuff like that. I just really hope we see it.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that Boylan hurt Carter more than anyone else, more than any other player on the team last year. With all of his, like, prepare the children for the road garbage and all of his talk about needing to walk before you run, at the end of the day, he did a huge disservice to Carter because there were times towards the end of Carter's rookie year before he got injured where he was terrified on offense. He was playing with no confidence, which is not something you should say about a guy who's been considered one of the best basketball players in his class since that class started to be evaluated. He was a guy who was a five-star recruit, obviously went to Duke to play with Bagley. He shouldn't be playing scared. Right?
Yeah.
In the parallels here to the Bears and Mitch Trubisky are just dancing through my mind as I say this, but it's like, he has no excuse to be playing scared. He's too good to be playing scared. His pedigree is too sharp to be playing scared. So instead of, you know, overthinking and worrying about not screwing up, Wendell needs to leverage his considerable talents to make an impact, to make real decisions, and to have the confidence that it's gonna work out well. And if it doesn't work out well, I mean, what is he, 20 or 21 years old this year? Like, he's got a long, long career in front of him. They need to let him learn by making, you know, these high-impact decisions instead of just having him be treated with kid gloves, which is definitely what happened last year.
Yeah, he's still only 20. It's easy to remember just how young he still is, but I believe he was the youngest player, or at least the youngest big, maybe, to come into that draft. Or he was one of the younger guys, just in terms of his age. And that actually, the thing about Boylan and just how he ruined Carter the most. That was one of the questions we got from Mort. Mort's a big Bulls fan. He has a great podcast as well. He said thinking of this the other day. Is there a guy in the roster whose success / failure goes more hand in hand with how Boylan decides to use him? And I feel like that's basically, we just kind of answered that. Like, yes, probably, because just like, he's either going to let him free or he's going to shoehorn him in. And somebody else also has similar. Luis, who does suffer Bleacher Nation, also has, like, should he be allowed more offensive freedom? And clearly we've answered that yes. Like, they need to let Wendell just kind of let him bloom, let him blossom. Let's hope he does that. Before we start talking about any other Wendell stuff, we'll talk about his defense a bit as well, and we'll take some other questions from other fans. Let's do a quick word from our sponsors. There are countless ways to keep up on what's happening in the world of sports, but how are you supposed to read every great article? How are you supposed to watch every awesome highlight without losing time in your busy day? Scrolling through every app and visiting every website on a daily basis is impossible. Now coming to the stage, Axios Sports. Axios Sports is a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. Each morning, you'll see the best stories from around the sports world, from the NBA and the NFL, to niche sports like cricket and ping pong. The email newsletter highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. And it's super simple to sign up. Just go to sports.axios.com. Axios Sports is clean, crisp, and it gives you everything you need to know. Read in 5 minutes in the elevator or discover a deep dive article while you're on the train to work. Not only will you be caught up, you'll be the cool person sharing an amazing link with your friends and coworkers. So please join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up on the day before it even begins. And best of all, no paywall, no subscription fee, nothing. This is free, curated sports content delivered directly to you. So do yourself and your time a favor. Sign up for the Axios Sports newsletter for free at sports.axios.com.
Jason, I think you know that guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, a bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable with rubbing some dirt on it than seeing the doctor. Well, Jace, the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show that 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your very own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire to complete an online visit. If your doctor decides the treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Guys, go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get it checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started today. GetRoman.com/BlueWire.
And we're back, Cash Considerations Podcast, talking all things Wendell Carter Jr. So we've talked a lot about his offense. Let's probably talk about his defense as well. Wendell, this guy actually kind of goes into the offense thing as well. I think he believes he played a pretty solid defense as a rookie. As a rookie big man, it's always tough as a rookie big man to make an impact. And he did play pretty well. He's pretty cognizant of the fact that he needs to get better offensively. He had a quote earlier this summer talking with Scoop B about how he needs to be more aggressive offensively, how he needs to shoot from all three levels, create his own shot, doing all that kind of stuff. But he talked about how he feels like defensively he played pretty well throughout the season. And I would mostly agree. I know he had some problems with fouls and all that kind of stuff, but if you look at some of the numbers and just watching some of the film, like I feel like he did make a pretty nice impact overall, like defending the rim, guarding pick and rolls, especially for such a young player. Again, we talked about how young he was as a big man entering the draft, and how tough it can really be for young big man to learn deep NBA defense, to make impact like that. If you look at some of the advanced stats, like in terms of like RPM, he was 21st among centers in DRPM, defensive RPM. Obviously, that's not necessarily a ranking, that doesn't necessarily mean everything, but he was considered way better defensively. Offensively, he was a complete disaster. He was actually one of the worst in offensive RPM among centers, but pretty solid defensively. If you look at his field goal percentage against at the rim, again, this is also defensive stats, are a lot of noise there, but he allowed about 59% field goals percentage at the rim, which is basically like middle of the pack if you're looking at centers who contested a lot of shots at the rim. Again, for a rookie, I feel like that's pretty good. So I think he just seems like such a smart player. He knows where to be. I think he probably learned a lot from Robin Lopez. I think he talked about that last year, learning a lot, just the nuances of defense from a veteran in Robin Lopez. And I think that's going to be just a really important part of this Bulls rebuild, because they were a terrible defensive team last year. I think they're going to be relying on him as an anchor. So I don't think he's ever going to be like defensive player of the year caliber defensive player. He's not going to be, I don't think he's ever going to be like a super high block shots guy. I think last year he was at something like 1.5 maybe. I don't think he's ever going to be like at the top of the leaderboard for block shots, but I think he'll be able to block some shots. So it'll be really interesting to see what kind of step he can make defensively and how he does moving into the future. What do you think about Wendell Carter's defense as a rookie and just his long-term prospects on that end?
Yeah, well, there's a steep learning curve for young bigs entering the league. That's a truism that's been around forever. There's just so much to grasp in terms of being the last line of NBA defense. I remember when Karl Towns was at Kentucky, everyone thought that he had, right, you know, pretty good defensive upside. And in the NBA, he's basically been, you know, a zero on defense. And I think that, you know, it's not because he isn't engaged or he doesn't have the physicality. I just think that, you know, there's just a lot on his plate. And you could say the same thing about a lot of young centers in a lot of ways. I thought Wendell was impressive defensively as a rookie. That is an interesting point you just said, that you don't expect him to ever be, you know, defensive player of the year or whatever. He's going to have to be definitely a big plus defensively and garner consideration for at least, like, you know, the all-defensive teams at some point in his career for the Bulls to really be a winning organization with him on the court. Like, his offensive skill set, I think, is totally untapped, and he has a ton of potential there. But in terms of what the Bulls are counting on this season, his defense is really going to have to shine through. And I do think that that's a bit of a risky bet, even beyond the health and durability issues, just because it is so hard for a big man in his second year in the league to truly be a master on defense. I do have faith in Wendell, though. I can see him being, you know, at least average to slightly above average this year defensively, which is good. Like, that might sound like a knock on him, but, you know, if he's one of the top 15 best starting centers defensively in the NBA this year, that would be a huge boost for the Bulls, something they haven't had You know, with Robin Lopez there, who wasn't as mobile as Wendell is, didn't have as much range defensively to hedge screens and recover and do stuff like that. Where Wendell's going to give some stuff up to me is, like, against other big post scorers. Like, against Embiid, I think he's probably going to be toast, and that's going to be tough for him. But, you know, he's smart enough to know to deny those guys the type of paint position they need to thrive. And against a lot of other centers, I think he'll be able to pick them apart, you know, with his offensive skills and just being a smart player who knows where and when to rotate defensively.
Yeah, going back to the Stepien article again, tons of film, tons of deep dives. And when he's looking at his defense, that's kind of what he talks about. It's basically the intelligence and just like knowing where to be. He's gotten better at verticality and stuff like that, and using his length. His wingspan is what, like 7'4", 7'3"? It's pretty long. He's not the tallest guy, but I'm pretty sure his wingspan is a pretty decent amount. So yeah, just the smarts, the length, the verticality, stuff like that. Just like compared to some of the other rookie bigs, like he did pretty well. And some of the other guys, like Jaren Jackson Jr. is like a freak. Mitchell Robinson's a freak. Like those guys are probably big time shot blocking types. Again, I don't think Wendell's going to be like that, but just he can just use, and since he's not the most athletic type, not like the freakiest athlete, stuff like that, he can just use the smarts and stuff like that. The help, one of those sections here is about his help defense and where how his help defense IQ and his instincts shine, which quote unquote, he says, Cole says, is the lifeblood for his value on the center of the floor. And that seems to make the most sense with me. Like, he's not going to be like a spectacular shot blocker all the time. Like, he'll have his share of big blocks, but like, it's just going to be the smarts, knowing where to be, helping other guys, helping direct the defense. The Al Horford comp has been pretty prevalent. We've talked about it a lot. I think it kind of makes sense, again, on both ends of the floor. Al Horford's not a super athletic guy, but he's a guy who's super smart, knows where to be. He helps direct the defense, direct traffic. And I think that's kind of just the mold we're really looking for Carter to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's mostly about just putting him in a position to succeed and giving him the confidence to succeed. You wonder why whenever someone interviews an athlete about like a breakout season or a breakout game, the first thing they say is confidence. And I think that we saw that materialize with Wendell in the wrong way last year by how he was playing offensively under Boylan towards the end of his rookie season. As long as they put him in position to succeed, I really do think that he just has such a high-level, well-rounded skill set on both ends. And in a loaded draft, because that draft was loaded, Jason. I mean, Trey Young is going to be a really good player. Doncic, I think, is already a star. Jaren Jackson has superstar upside to me. Ayton, you know, there'll always be the question of, like, does he contribute to winning versus, you know, his numbers he's putting up. But he's still going to be a good player and put up, you know, crazy efficient finishing numbers, I think, inside. You also got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You got Landry Shamet. That class was loaded. There's no doubt about it. But I truly believe that Carter can be one of the five best players in the class. I don't think he's going to get up there with Luka. I don't think he's going to get up there with Jaren Jackson, who I think just physically has some stuff that Wendell will never have in terms of his fluidity and his agility. But Carter, to me, could be a top five player from the 18 draft. And I think drafting him was one of the smarter things the Bulls have done. Like, imagine if they would have taken Colin Sexton with that pick. The rebuild would look totally different right now.
Definitely agree. I mean, Sexton's an interesting case because I remember watching some Bulls-Cavs games from like early in the year, and he was so bad. I know he did get better, and like his shooting numbers actually looked better, but like I really don't know if it's really there for him. Let's finish up here with just a few more questions from Twitter. You kind of answered this already, but this is from VJ at VJ Vimu, our guy at Bloggable. Got to give him a shout out. And he just kind of said, again, expectations for Wendell as a defender next season. What areas defensively do you think he needs to improve most in?
I would say it's just, like, recognizing when to help, when to stay at home. Like, that's, to me, just, like, reading the floor is maybe the most important thing for a defensive center to have. And also avoiding foul trouble. Like, last year he was getting pretty jumpy, I think, in terms of, like, biting at pump fakes and stuff like that. Just stay down, Wendell. Read the floor, rely on your intelligence. He's going to be a good defensive player.
Yeah, the fouls was definitely what I was going to go with, too. I think he was like 3.5 fouls per game last year, and I feel like all the time. And again, that's the thing that happens to rookies, again, all the time. You pick up cheap fouls, you get frustrated, you pick up another foul. Happens all the time, but it's something he's going to have to get better at because he needs to stay on the floor. Next question from Jermaine Jones at Jermaine611. It's basically talking about Wendell's three-point shooting. We kind of talked about how we want him to be taking more threes. He brought up the stuff during summer league that you brought up. He said there was a point in the year where Chris Paul laughed at him when he took a three, and he said, hell no, very loud. We want to see Wendell get better at shooting threes. He asked, how many threes do you think is a per game is the right number for him?
Two.
I think that makes that basically be tripling what he took. I think he was at 0.7 as a last year, basically tripling the amount. I think that'd be a pretty good progression for him this year. I think that makes perfect sense. Let's see, next. If this is from Red Leviathan, shout out to C Red Fred. I guess my biggest question is someone skeptical about what Wendell can realistically be. Can you talk me into why you should be patient for Wendell Carter Jr.?
Yeah, to me, like, Carter's going to be a guy whose impact stretches beyond his per game numbers, which I think is a comforting thing to tell yourself as a Bulls fan when you look at his rookie stats and he wasn't an efficient scorer and he struggled in certain lineups, but if used correctly, I think he's the type of guy who makes everyone around him better. And I think that, you know, while he might never put up numbers on par with Ayton's, in fact, I know he won't,
yeah. Yeah.
I do think he could contribute to winning at a greater level, perhaps. So there's a lot of nuance to Wendell's game. He's not going to, like, bludgeon you with amazing highlights or gaudy stats, but he impacts winning. I really think he'll have that effect on the Bulls.
And another reminder, he's still just 20 years old. That's enough patience, enough need to be patient right there. I know, like, it could be tough to wait on guys, especially when the Bulls have been so bad the last couple years, and it's been really frustrating to watch them. Like, he's still just 20. He played basically half a season last year. He's going to need some time. He's not an Anthony Davis who's going to come in and just be great right away. It's going to take some time. Please be patient with Wendell Carter Jr. A couple more here. This one's from Donnie Seals at D Seals. Is there any logical reason Wendell doesn't start? I think he says he thinks he read reports of Thad Young possibly starting. Normally he dismisses such rumors because it's obvious Wendell and Lowry need playing time together, but with his coaching staff, you never really know. I don't think I've seen any reports of Thad Young possibly starting. That could be me just missing them. I'm not totally sure. Like I said, I just haven't seen those myself. I feel like I know Thad's the veteran. He's been a starter for a long time now. I think it would be ridiculous if Wendell and Lowry didn't start together. I know you don't necessarily want to give a guy a starting spot unless he earns it, but I mean those two guys are arguably the most important part of your rebuild. There were reports out there that those were the two untouchable guys when they were talking about possible trades around the draft. Like at this point, Thad's been in the league for a long time. He's a professional. I'm sure he's willing to do whatever he's willing to do. I'm pretty sure he said he doesn't care if he starts or comes off the bench. He seems like a perfect option as a 30-minute per game, six-man type. I think you have to start Wendell and Lowry, right?
No doubt. I think that, you know, despite the fact that Thaddeus Young has been a starter in this league for most of his career, the last two seasons, Thad Young started 81 games each for the Pacers, and before that it was 74 for the Pacers, and before that it was 73 for the Nets or something. I think that even Thad knows that it's not about who starts as much as who finishes. Thad has his money, he has his acclaim at this point. His role on this team is to complement Carter and Markkanen, and I do expect, you know, Carter to be sitting some fourth quarters if Thad is the hot hand. That wouldn't shock me, and I don't think that that's, you know, a strike against Carter's development if and when it happens. But in terms of at the beginning of the year, Carter and Markkanen need to start together. They need to develop as much chemistry as they can and, you know, try to find a way to make this pairing work.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Two more. This is from Ad Greek Bulls fan Aristotelis. I believe he asked this one last week. Do you believe Wendell and Kobe White will prove themselves as good enough return for 2 years of tanking? I really like both, but I'm not sure. I mean, I think that's a fair question to go through what the Bulls have gone through to end up with a 7 pick both years and maybe not end up with those, like, guaranteed superstar types. Like, I understand the frustration there. I think that's definitely up in the air. Like, I'm not going to say it's definite that they're going to. Like, the Bulls still have a ton to prove. I'm not going to say they're definitely not, though.
Yeah, I mean, you can always trade them, too, right? Like, the Bulls exist in this weird universe where they feel like, you know, the only way they could build a good team is to draft and develop a guy. But look at the rest of the league's landscapes. Like, no one else is really holding on to their players forever anymore. And people are very quick to make moves. So I do think that's a very fair question. And, you know, the fact that they didn't land Zion or a player of that caliber is a strike against the rebuild in a lot of ways. But if they end up getting two good players, it's like, make some moves and figure it out. You're not locked into this.
Yeah, and then they have a nice young core. You could package a couple guys for maybe the next star that wants out. Maybe they end up, they get a star another way, and these guys are part of a core that ends up on a really good Bulls team. We'll see. I don't want to say yes or no either way, but that, definitely it is a fair question. Last one, this is from AC at Captain underscore A. Do we have a good nickname for Wendell Carter Jr.? I feel like I haven't seen anything. I don't even know if Stacey King has come up with anything good. I feel like there's like a thing going around on Twitter, a goofy thing talking about like, it's fucking Wendell Carter Jr., it's fucking Wendell, something goofy like that. But I feel like I haven't seen like a good nickname for Wendell. Do you got anything? Because I got nothing. I was trying to think of something earlier.
I think Wendell is all you need. It just rolls off the tongue. Wendell. I love that.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that's kind of like why I kind of like the thing, like this Twitter thing where it's fucking Wendell. It's just kind of funny. Just right there for you. Nothing too crazy. Thank you for all the people that sent us in questions. As always, we're going to do one more of these player pods, our last one before training camp opens then in a couple, it's 2 weeks, training camp will be opening, so that's great. So we'll be talking about Zach LaVine next week after, again, we've talked about Lowry, Otto Porter Jr., and now Wendell, so please go check out those other pods. Zach LaVine coming up next week. I'm getting excited here. A 2 week warning basically before training camp opens, preseason after that, and then the season starts in basically just a little over a month. I think it's like 35, 36 days, so that's great. As always, shout out to Blue Wire at Blue Wire Pods on Twitter. Please go check out all our podcasts, other NBA podcasts, and we have podcasts, a bunch of different sports now. We got a ton of stuff going on. It's a lot of fun. We're growing. Good stuff here. And as always for us, Cash Considerations, Chicago Bulls podcast, please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all that good stuff. So for this week, the Wendell Carter Jr. pod, this has been Jason and Ricky with the Cash Considerations pod. Take it easy, and we'll talk to you guys next week.